And have your bulletin ready. We have some filling in to do. And we're studying and we're looking at probably the greatest gift that God ever gave us. If I ask you that tonight as a question, say, what's the greatest thing God ever did for you? You probably, like me, would right off the bat say salvation. But before you had salvation, God gave you something. And that's grace. For by grace are we saved through faith. God's grace was given to us first. We want to look at some of these things tonight and help us to appreciate it in a better way. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That word, wherefore, because of what we have just heard. Well, what did we just hear? Hebrews chapter 11. We just heard about all of these people, named and unnamed, known and unknown, and what they did. So seeing we are compassed about with this cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We've been here recently. Next verse, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction. Verse 4, ye have not resisted yet unto blood. Verse 5, ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Verse 14, instructions. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. Verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby defile many. Verse 28, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence of godly fear. My example to you tonight, or illustration to you tonight, is yes, that grace is a gift. And we're going to look at the intricate portions of grace in a moment. But let me give an illustration if I can, please. Grace is much like a muscle. Grace is active. Grace is not a one-time thing. Grace isn't something that is one-dimensional. The phone call with Brother Biggs yesterday, he talked in great detail about the atrophy of Joyce's muscles. He said, Brother Don, he said, for 6 months now with this bar in her leg, when she sits down, her leg sticks straight out. And he said she has had to have 3 more surgeries in which they have taken what's called a muscle flap. And I don't understand it all. But he said this, they can't do that again. He said, they have run out of muscle. He said, what's happening is the muscle is not being used, and so it atrophies, it shortens, and you can't pull it back out. And so they're doing these flaps to try to save her ability to walk. It's not work, it's not useful because it is not working. Now, I want you to find your place in the book of 2 Corinthians for a moment, please. We'll turn to several places tonight, just a few. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 1 and 2. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. All right, remember grace is a gift. It's not something we earn, but God gives it to us. It's an unmerited thing. We're going to look at that in the description in a few moments. Receive not the grace of God, or the gift of the grace of God, in vain. It's amazing to see sometimes the things that are given to us that in the long run we take for granted because we weren't the source of them. In a few weeks, Christmas will come and you'll give a gift to someone, a child, a grandchild, or whoever it may happen to be, and they'll love that gift, they'll keep that gift, and as it is fresh, it will be used, it will be useful, it will be exactly what was desired. But it isn't amazing how quickly the new wears off? Any of you ever got a new car or a new car to you, and it had that new car smell, and you said, I'll never let this car get dirty? but you did. Now notice what this says. Receive not the grace of God in vain. The gift of grace that God has given us, let us not take that for granted. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, you don't need to turn back to that, says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. Now, I looked up because, you know, we say, what is grace? And I know there's the acronyms, there's the Christian acronyms that we use to give a definition of grace. I want us to look at some things tonight. Grace is a noun and grace is a verb. I'm not going to be a school teacher. I'm just telling you what I saw in the dictionary. And here's what it says about grace. The first definition says simple elegance or refinement. And it gave a little sentence to sort of identify it. She moved through the water with effortless grace. And the synonyms for it were elegance, finesse, smoothness, precision, and that's a definition of grace. The second one it said, not only an elegance of refinement of movement, but courteous goodwill. At least he had the grace to admit that he was wrong. Courtesy, politeness, civility, decorum, decency. So I want you to think of grace tonight, not just with our Christian acronyms, but also think about it as it is with our daily vernacular, what grace is. The third one it says in the dictionary has to do with Christian faith. It says the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessing, favor, goodwill, generosity, kindness, divinely given blessing. A condition of fact of being favored by someone. God's grace to us. And the synonyms for it, favor, approval, commendation, esteem, goodwill, all of those things. So again, we're looking at the word grace from the biblical standpoint, but the very practical standpoint. It talked about the Christian faith. Then it says this, a period officially allowed for payment of a sum due or for compliance with the law or condition expected, especially an extended period granted as a special favor. I was given another 3 days of grace. Now with that, it says deferment, deferral, postponement, suspension. Also, it says this, a short prayer of thanks before a meal. On television, if you see a program that comes on and by chance, should they pray before a meal? Do you remember what they say? Let's say grace. Grace. Thanksgiving. Blessing. So when we read the scripture and it said, let us serve God with grace, let us do it with thanksgiving, a blessing, a benediction. Now, that's all now. The verb is this, to honor to honor or discredit by one's presence. She bowed out from the sport with great grace, dignity, favor, elevation, embellishment. Now, when we look at God's gift and have your pen, we're going to move forward now and begin to fill some things out. God's grace to us has been the greatest gift that he could possibly give us. You say, Pastor, no, salvation is. No, salvation is impossible without his first gift of grace. So notice this. It is by grace that we are saved. It is by grace that we are saved. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's the first gift of God. Brother Gates, a few moments ago on the phone, was telling us, I shared this with a teachers and teachers meeting. He said the largest Christian church in the country of Egypt has been blessed to have a very strong television program. He says the church began to make some changes a few months ago. It's very evident by their popularity and by what was happening on the program. And he said just recently, just this week, their television program changed. And he said they have altered the way of salvation. He said, now on their national television program, they're no longer preaching and teaching in this place about salvation by grace, but it is all justification by works. But the reality is we're saved by grace. A reality number two, by grace we grow. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now think back to some of those terms that we mentioned reading out of the dictionary. But grow in grace, enhancement, finesse, charm, courtesy, goodwill, enrichment, elevation. We're to grow in those. Number three, the reality by grace that we have access to the presence of God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It is only by God's grace that we have access to God. Look at number four. By grace that we are motivated to serving Him. Now, I said this a little earlier, just in some different terminology. Grace is not static, meaning it's not lacking movement. Grace is something that should not be still. It should not be unchanging. You remember that illustration with Joyce? Her leg is still. It is unchanging. It is atrophying. It is not growing. Grace is not static. Grace has to be to us dynamically lively. It has to have constant change. Notice again our scripture that we're to grow in grace. Grace is not limited to a one-time gift of God. God's grace to us is an ongoing gift, not a one-time gift. And that gift transforming us into His likeness. And that's why He's left us here, to make us like Him. How transforming us? So we may know how to know Him, how to love Him, how to serve Him. Grace is the most powerful thing in our lives to bring about real change. And it develops as it is ongoing. And just as our faith tonight should not be the same faith the night that we were saved, it should have grown, it should have enhanced, it should have matured. So also do we need to grow in grace. And He tells us to grow in grace and knowledge. Now, even the grace of God, as wonderful as a gift it is to us, but the grace of God will never overpower the human will. He calls us to let grace. God gives us the gift of grace. We have to reach out and take that. And then we have to let that grace grow and work into our lives. We can never get the work of God done unless we allow grace to work through us. So in what ways does God call us to lose grace in our life? There's a lot of them. Let's look at just a few of them tonight and fill in as we go. Let your speech be seasoned with grace. It would be interesting to know how much of our trouble comes from our words. And you know, I illustrated in a sermon not too long ago, I can't remember really when it was. Sometimes what a parent says is not what the child hears. And sometimes what a brother or sister in Christ says is really not what we hear. Many of our issues come from our life. But here's what we say when the issues come up. Now, I didn't mean it that way. I was just kidding. Sometimes we'll say this: I was just being truthful. Let your speech be seasoned with grace. Now, Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 6. And you have the reference there, but here's what the verse says. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Think about that for just a moment. Now, they can say salt's not good for you, and I'm not here to argue the medical, standard of salt. And it may not be good for us. But I'm going to tell you for this. It tastes good. Now, we're out of season for it. But you can take an average watermelon and put salt on it, and you have an extraordinary watermelon. And you can take an average tomato and put salt on it. And I want to tell you something. There's this one thing that they call no salt. That I'm telling you, they're right. And it's just like that other one. I can't believe it's not butter. Well, whoever named that and whoever made it has never had butter before, that's for sure. But notice what the verse says. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. What does salt do to food? It enhances. So let our speech always be enhanced by grace, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. I was talking to a couple one time, and she said, he told me I didn't have any sense. He said, I didn't say that. I said, well, what was it that you said? And he said, I told her that what she said didn't make sense. Somehow what was said and the meaning of it gets twisted by what was heard and the meaning of it. Now, have any of y'all ever had that kind of trouble before? And we have to be careful, because on the heels of that, Paul says in Ephesians, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the, what's the next word? Edifying. So our speech is seasoned with grace, and our speech should always be that which is edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Number two, sing with grace. Sing with grace. I took a little trip through hymn book. Do you know how much singing we do about grace? And some of them don't, they may not have grace in the title, they may not even have grace in the song. Some that may not have grace in the song itself. Oh, how I love Jesus is a song of grace, when you stop and think about the message of it. Rock of Ages, at Calvary, how firm a foundation, blessed assurance, Jesus saves, I need thee every hour. All of those, the subject matter of the song is grace. But then there's a huge number of songs in our songbook that are all about grace. The most popular Christian hymn in the world is Amazing Grace. Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Grace that is greater than all my sin. By the grace of God, we will meet again. There's a song called New Grace. I could go on and on. I've got about 20 different ones listed out in here. But God wants us to sing with grace. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 says this, let the word of God or Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And so he gives to us psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that are going to help us unleash grace and let grace grow. Number two, singing with grace. Number three, giving with grace. Giving with grace. Now understand this tonight. You cannot demand giving, and you cannot legislate giving. Giving comes from the heart. And God's word says this, he loves what kind of giver? Cheerful giver. I'll be very blunt with you tonight with this. A person's giving reveals their love and their relationship with Almighty God. There's truth to that. The book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, Paul is writing to the church. And he says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace. And he's talking about grace giving. Dr. John Halsey was pastor at Great Hope for so many years. A book that he wrote and has been now reprinted, I think it's in its 14th edition, if I'm not mistaken. And what he calls faith promise, or what we call faith promise, he has mastered to this passage of Scripture, not necessarily, he's not saying that our term for faith promise is wrong, but he's using the biblical term of grace giving. So if you want to unleash the gift of God in your life, there is the grace of singing, the grace of giving. Number four, resist temptation with grace. We resist temptation with grace. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through verse 13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Can I say this to you tonight? And I just finished talking to our teachers and teachers meeting a while ago, asking them to pray for our church. There is in every area of our world today, in our country today, whether it's political, ethical, moral, or spiritual, there is a huge generation gap. And I say that and then bring this verse back out. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Friends, God has us alive today. This is our day. This is not somebody else's day. This is our day. And God, through all of eternity past, has planned that your life would be here today. In this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior Jesus Christ. Listen, I look forward to. I text my aunt this afternoon. I wrote her. She and I had been texting for a couple of years now. And I text her just a letter, a note of consolation. I text last Christmas about the same time. One of the statements that I made. My grandfather loved Christmas. One of the last memories that I have of him was Christmas. And he would get so excited when all of the family was there. And I can remember the little house that they had. I remember what was going on. Sometimes I feel like I can remember the smell of the house. And I told my aunt last year, I said, I so look forward to heaven when we can all sit down for a Christmas dinner together. I wrote my cousin last night. I said, Shelby, time and distance has separated us, but it hasn't separated us in love. And I still love you all. I pray for you. I messaged Betty today, expressed my sympathy, my sorrow for her, told her I was glad that Mom and Dad were going to be able to be there and try to be a blessing to her. She said, you remember what you said last Christmas about us all being together for Christmas dinner? And I said, yes. She said, Donnie, it's taken on a whole new complexion today after she's lost her husband. Now listen, we should not stop looking forward. Let me show you what a lot of Christians are doing, and we've got to stop. Let me show you what a lot of Christians are doing. They are sitting down looking for the blessed hope, but they're sitting down doing it. We talk about heaven. We think about heaven. We rejoice in heaven. But we're sitting down doing it. We're not reaching out to take people with us. We're not telling them how to get there. We're not describing for them what it is. But we're so busy looking to the end that we're not living in this present world. And friends, God never meant for us to get so busy looking at the end that we don't live today. Number five, grow in grace. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, the grace of God is the greatest gift that He's ever given us. But when He gave it to us, it then became our responsibility to grow the grace, to keep the grace, to maintain it, to enhance it, to release it, and to grow it. What are we doing? What are we doing with the greatest gift that God ever gave us? Grace. I'll leave that question with you. Let's pray together, please. Father, thank You that the first thing You did for us was to give us grace. And before I was ever saved, You offered grace. And if You hadn't been gracious to me, I would never have been saved.